growing up as a boy in the north of England, in Lancashire, I would sometimes hear as I played around the streets and around my home, the cry of the rag and bone man. Perhaps that doesn't mean much to any of you, but he would traipse up and down the cobbled streets. Yes, the streets where I lived still are cobbled. I know it sounds old world and hovis, but that's how it was. As he traipsed up and down with his horse and cart, he would cry out at intervals, "Rag bone!" That was around 40 years ago. When I thought about it the other day, I was very surprised. I thought that I would never hear that cry again. But a couple of times in this past year, I've heard something very similar up around the streets of Abersuchan, where I am now. I don't suppose for a moment that modern ragbone men drive horse and carts around. I presume they have a flatbed truck or a transit van or something of that kind. But they still cry out and ply their trade as they go up and down the streets. I'm sure it's not quite the same down in a city like Newport, but there are one or two up where we are. They deal in scrap metal and junk and old articles that people no longer want. When I hear the ragbone man cry, I have to listen really hard and concentrate, trying to work out what it is that he's actually saying. It sounds to me like any iron all rolled into one word. But he's calling people from their homes. He's calling them to come out to him in the street in the hope that people will come and trade and do business with him. Most folk don't respond, but every now and again there are some who hear his cry and come out. And in our text this evening, back in the book of the prophet Isaiah and chapter 55, we find that the prophet Isaiah, the Lord's prophet, is doing something similar. He is calling men and women to come out and to come to him and to do business with him concerning their souls and concerning salvation, to do business with God. And for anybody, any of you here this evening who are listening carefully, if you concentrate, you will hear that God himself is calling for any souls. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Seek the Lord, in verse 6, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is calling all souls. And our first thought from this passage is that of calling and seeking. The prophet is calling out, plying his trade, if you will. And the Lord is seeking and calling men and women like you and me to himself. There's an admonition in the scripture, isn't there, in the New Testament, where we're told, those of us who proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the gospel clearly, so that its sound and its message makes a clear sound. And the Apostle Paul likens it, doesn't he, to the sounding, the clear sounding of a trumpet, calling men to himself. Perhaps he has in mind living in that militaristic time, the armies of Rome and the blowing of a trumpet, summoning men to a rallying point or warning them of some danger. But the notes must be sounded clearly and men must hear because lives depend on it. And it's exactly the same here with Isaiah, isn't it? The clear sounding notes of the gospel of Jesus Christ are before us here in these words. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, eat. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Lord himself is calling men and women like you and me to himself for salvation. And for the edification of our souls. Acts 4 and verse 12 reminds us, doesn't it, that there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. The prophet Isaiah is from exactly the same stable as the apostle Paul. He's of the same mind as Paul. He's of the same heart as Paul. He has the same message as Paul, calling people like you and me to salvation. Here is the Lord calling and seeking, and calling you and me to seek him. Here is a clear call, a clear sound, a clear gospel message to be saved. If you're listening carefully, this is the Lord's own gospel sermon to perishing souls. The entire chapter is written in the first person. It means this is the Lord himself speaking. This is his gospel message. This is his call to you, whoever you are here this evening. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come unto me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let him return and turn to our God. The Lord calling, the Lord speaking. This is the Lord himself speaking to us. But in reversal of those opening remarks that I made about that rag and bone man, you and I are the rag and bone men. It is you and I who are found beggarly and wretched and dirty and in desperate need here this evening because of sin. And that's why the prophet calls. And that's why the Lord seeks to speak to our souls. You and I are the rag and bone men. Before the Lord, before his holiness, before his glory, his splendor, his majesty, his righteousness, you and I are no more than filthy beggars in his sight because of sin by nature. And the prophet here is speaking to people, isn't he? To men and women like you and me who have nothing. Nothing at all. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money. Men and women who haven't got two apennies to rub together. Destitute, wretched, beggarly, in desperate need. Destitute in sin, because that's what sin does to a man. It robs you of everything and leaves you penniless in the currency of holiness and righteousness and salvation. Clothed in filthy rags. I thought about this, that vision that came to Zechariah of the high priest Joshua standing in filthy garments before the altar came to mind. And if the Lord's high priest is seen dressed in filthy garments, how much more men and women like you and me? In fact, Isaiah goes on, doesn't he? Later on, in a few more chapters, he's going to say, but we are all like an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. And the word that he uses is menstrual cloths. You and I are wretched and beggarly, destitute in our need. And here's the Lord speaking to us. Here's the Lord calling you to Himself. What can you give? What can you give Him in exchange for your precious soul? What do you have to pay the price of your sin and to remove the guilt from your soul? How can you stand before the Lord and bargain with Him? What do you have to bargain with? That's why the prophet calls. That's why the Lord is calling to us here in these words. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Here is the Lord calling any souls. But this is not just a clear sounding call. This is a universal call, isn't it? It's a call to every man. It's a call to every single one of you here this evening. Ho, everyone, anyone, everybody, all men who will hear this word. And the primary thing is this, isn't it? That you listen and that you respond. There's a reason, isn't there, that the Lord is calling to men and women. There's a reason why the prophet Isaiah goes out and broadcasts the word of God to the people. You see, in the context of Isaiah's message, he knows that judgment and wrath is coming upon the people of the Lord. He knows that the hand of the Lord's judgment is about to fall upon them. That's the context, isn't it? Of calling men and women to salvation. That's the context of the gospel call. The fact that the wrath of God is about to fall upon men. The wrath of God is very close to the heart and the message of the gospel. Doesn't make sense without that, does it? Unless you know that you are being called to salvation from something terrible and awful, this gospel will not make sense. That's why so many people don't believe, isn't it? Because they don't believe in a God who is angry and a God who is filled with wrath over sin. But the prophet does. And the Lord sends him to cry out in Psalm 7 and verse 11. It says that God is a just judge and God is angry with the wicked every day. Judgment is coming. Wrath is coming because of sin. Terrible wrath. Especially to those who are having heard the call, do nothing. Here's a very clear, open, obvious opportunity for you to come to salvation. This is the Lord calling you to Himself, a universal call to all men. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, seek the Lord while He may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to his God, and He will abundantly pardon. Come unto me, says Jesus, doesn't He? All you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Souls that are heavy with sin, souls that are weighed down with wrongdoing, destitute people, people like you and me here this evening. This is all men by nature. That's why this call is a universal call. And you are to hear, and you are to respond. Let me remind you about Capernaum. You remember Jesus Christ himself went about preaching the gospel and doing good, didn't he? But he warned cities like Capernaum, in whose streets the Son of God had stood and preached the gospel. He said to them, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the judgment than for you. Because they heard his word and did nothing. Here is a universal call. Here is a call to every man this evening to come to the Lord in repentance and faith and to believe this gospel. And the Lord couldn't make it more plain or more clear. I'm trying to blow the trumpet loud and clear so that you will hear its sound and you will come and be saved. The prophet's words become more and more transparent, don't they? Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. But as we read on through that passage, it becomes more specific, doesn't he? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. When Isaiah speaks of those who are wicked and unrighteous, he doesn't mean men and women who are depraved, as bad as they can be, as awful as men can get. He simply means those men and women like me and you who are guilty of sin and having gone away from the Lord. Come, all of you. Everybody here. It's a universal call, isn't it? Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, eat, seek the Lord, while he may be found. It's not only a clear call and a universal call, but it's a most passionate call, isn't it? You can feel and hear the passion in the prophet's words. There are those people, aren't there, who think that God is far off from men and women. That he's not really interested and can't be interested in people like you and me. We're far too small and insignificant for the Lord to take any notice of. No, he's a far off, remote God. But God is not some far off cosmic force. A standoff God, a God who has simply wound up this world and let it go and is now standing back, hands off. That is far from what God the Lord is like. Do you remember Paul when he went to Athens? He saw, didn't he, every kind of altar and shrine to every kind of God and deity there in that place. And seeing one to the unknown God, he began to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to them. And he told them, didn't he, in Acts 17:27, he, that is the Lord, is not far from each one of us. God himself draws near to sinners. And there's tremendous passion here in these words, tremendous feeling. It is the heart of God revealed to us, isn't it? Isaiah's words are urgent. They have feeling. They have a passion about them. And a God who is ready to give up his only begotten Son, the Son whom he loves and in whom he delights, a God who is willing to send him into this world to die on a cross for sin. That God is a God who is passionate about souls, about your soul, about you, about your salvation. And that is why the prophet cries out, isn't it? This is a passionate call to be saved. And if you seek him, and if you find him, and if you make diligent search for the Lord your God, you will find that the Lord has a very human heart. He feels. He feels for people like you and me in our sin. And he sends out his word. He sends out his prophet to cry and call men to himself, calling and seeking men. This is a message from the heart of God. God has a beating heart which feels for every single one of you here in this room this evening, lost in your sin. There's a really rather wonderful verse in the book of the prophet Hosea, a contemporary of Isaiah, who was crying out to the people of Israel at about the same time. Hosea 11 verse 8, where judgment is about to come upon the people of God. And he the Lord laments over his people. My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. The Lord must punish his people because of their sin. He can't simply brush it aside under the carpet. But oh, how it moves his heart to do so. How he's moved for them. Who would believe that the Lord God of heaven and earth pleads with sinful men and women to be saved? But he does. He's doing it here. He's doing it here in these words. This is a passionate call, isn't it? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I wonder how this cry finds your hearts this evening. I wonder how it comes to your ears this evening. Is your heart melted in response to a God who loves you more than words can say? Or do these words meet with a stony heart, unmoved? My friend, beware a stony heart. The seed of the gospel that falls into a stony heart will not grow there, and you will perish. Jesus said, didn't he? For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come. It means if you don't believe this gospel, if you don't believe in this Savior that is proclaimed to us here this evening, you will die and perish and be lost. Calling and seeking. But we have here forsaking and returning, don't we? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's a verse in Peter's letter in the New Testament which tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so the prophet reveals for you and me here this evening an escape route, doesn't he? An escape route labeled repentance. In the midst of impending disaster, in the midst of that thought that the hand of judgment of the Lord will fall upon an unbelieving world, this verse holds out hope, doesn't it? The second part of that verse, he will have mercy on him. He will abundantly pardon. And not only does this verse hold out hope, but the prophet points the path to that hope, doesn't he? In the first part of that verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. The prophet is speaking about repentance, isn't he? Faith in the living God is a very simple thing. There's nothing difficult about having faith in God. Jesus Christ himself said, it's a simple matter of repent and believe. And you need to see this evening that repentance is required. It's a must. You must repent. You must return to the Lord your God. And the prophet makes this clear and tells us what repentance is. In the words of the prophet, it's something very radical, isn't it? Not something that's gradual. Something which is sudden and not slowly catchy monkey. Something which is immediate and urgent. It's a turning from sin, a turning to the Lord. A turning away from that life that you're living away from him. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord his God. It's a movement, isn't it? from that place of unbelief, from that place of sin and destruction and living in darkness, to the place of living in the light of the righteousness of God Himself in the face of Jesus Christ. It's an immediate thing. It's a sudden thing, isn't it? You can't say to the drunk who knocks his wife about, try her, knock her about just once a month. That's great, isn't it? Just 12 more assaults to look forward to in the year ahead. No, repent, turn, now. That's what the word of the Lord says, isn't it? You can't say to a thief, steal less this year. Aim for zero tolerance in 3 years' time. It's nonsense, isn't it? Now is the time. Now is the moment. This is what the prophet is saying, isn't it? Repent and turn. Turn from sin. Turn to God. Turn away from that life. And turn now. Right away. The word of the Lord is always immediate, isn't it? It's always today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. These words are imperatives, aren't they? There's an imperative tone, an urgent tone here about the prophet's words. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. This is not just a call to repentance, it's a command, isn't it? These words are in the imperative. There's a command here to seek the Lord and to return to him. Isaiah is not standing on the street corner giving out advice and handing out pleasant suggestions. I think it's time that you ought to consider God. Have you ever thought about salvation? Not at all. Turn, says the prophet. Seek the Lord. Call upon him. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him do it now. There's a prophetic anxiety about this. He's earnest. He's in earnest. There's an urgent need for you to come back to the Lord your God this evening, because the Lord is angry now. He is angry with the wicked every day. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon wickedness. It cannot continue. Heart of this gracious call of the Lord this evening is a call to repent, to turn and to return to Him. People love to use tiny thread, don't they, in mending their ways. But the words of the Lord are written large. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. This is the same message that Jesus himself proclaimed, isn't it? Except ye repent, you will all likewise perish. They said, we read it together a moment ago in John, never a man spoke like the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps except Isaiah here in this passage. What a clear call to return to the Lord your God. Ho, everyone, is the word. He's speaking to you and me here this evening. He's speaking to all of us who are guilty of sin. Perhaps there's a sin that is fresh in your thoughts. Perhaps there's some wrong that you know that you have done. A harsh word, an idle word, spoken in a moment, but regretted, an unclean or an unkind thought about another, some unholy deed, indecent pictures on the internet or something of that like, some selfish, self-centered indulgence. So many ways to stumble, so many ways to fall short of the glory of God, so many ways to be trapped and ensnared in sin. The word of the Lord, the word of the prophet here is for you, isn't it? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Perhaps there comes to mind some long past sin. Something that's almost forgotten, but not quite. Because it keeps coming again and again to mind. And you can't push it out of your thoughts, not quite. Some hurt, some harm done to another, some secret shame hidden away. And the Lord's word is to you. Isaiah had all Israel in mind. Ho, everyone, their sin and idolatry, past and present, old sins, new sins. He has your sin in mind, your sin and idolatry against the Lord, your old sin, your new sin, all of your sin, as if it is freshly written. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. You old sinner, you new sinner, you're to return to the Lord your God in repentance and faith. This is a call to each one, isn't it? And it comes with a promise. A promise of abundant pardon. Spurgeon said that there's no room for despair here in these verses. God doesn't just sometimes pardon sin. He always pardons sin. Here in these words is the gospel, isn't it? Surely this is good news to people like you and me this evening. Doesn't the gospel say if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? And the prophet is calling you and me to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That man, that woman, who's not just remorseful, but who repents, who turns around, who forsakes those sins and that old life, will find pardon and forgiveness in the Lord. You will always find pardon and forgiveness and peace if you do that. And neither is the Lord frugal in forgiving and pardoning sin. He's not a tight-fisted God who's reluctant to forgive. What does the prophet say? He will abundantly pardon. Let your soul delight in abundance. How good is the Lord our God. And the prophet speaks of the great reward in seeking God. Speaks of milk and of wine and of bread and of water and of all those things that are good for your souls and will satisfy your souls. Not like the things of the world. These are the things of God, the promises of God to people like you and me, the abundant pardon of God that is available for you and me here tonight. Peace beyond description. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. That your hearts might no longer be troubled by sin. And guilt and shame. Perhaps you think it all sounds too good. There are those things, aren't there, that it all sounds too good to be true. But this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the God who made the heavens and the earth, whose word is truth in its entirety. This is food for your soul. This is a promise that cannot fail. And I can only say to you tonight, taste for yourself. come and see that the Lord is good. You have nothing. Nothing at all. But the Lord says, I have and am all that you need. Leave that life that you now live and join yourself to me. Amen.